Greetings, everyone. It's time for Native Sun, the show for Indigenous issues on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Your reader is Bethany Williams. First, from ICT, mourners celebrate life of Raul Grijalva, the People's Champ by Daniel Herrera Carbajal, published on the 27th of March, 2025. People laughed and shared stories inside the El Casino Ballroom on March 26th. It wasn't a wake with inside voices and a melancholic tone. This was a celebration of life for Arizona Democratic Congressman Raul Grijalva, who died March 13th from cancer treatment complications at age 77. Hundreds of people, from tribal leaders to Grijalva's constituents, packed the ballroom to celebrate his accomplishments. People danced under a disco ball, shaking the floor, to Grijalva's favorite songs, while a slideshow played in the background showcasing moments of his life as a husband, grandfather, and advocate for society's most downtrodden. Pascua Yaqui tribe chairman Julian Hernandez said Grijalva's work for the little people inspired him to pursue politics. The empowerment and advocacy that he had for them and their voice gave me the strive to go into politics, said Hernandez. He spoke for the workers, for the people that needed a voice. During his time in Congress, Grijalva became one of the most vocal defenders of Native American issues in the U.S. House of Representatives. Grijalva served Arizona's 7th Congressional District, which spans from Tucson to the edges of Phoenix. His funeral was held prior to his celebration of life at the St. Augustine Cathedral in downtown Tucson. Hundreds of mourners, including congressional and tribal leaders, packed the church. Former Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland recalled his dedication to tribal nations. He was unwavering to protect our air, land, and water, and a powerful advocate for our tribal communities everywhere, she said. Later, at the celebration of life, Pascua Yaqui Vice Chairman Peter Yucupicio spoke about Grijalva's work advocating not only for his tribe, but for all people. When he walked for all of us. When he fought for all of us. To preserve our language, to preserve these other lands, and the written ways of belief, Yucupicio said. You know, every tribe has a uniqueness about themselves and must be respected not only for their sovereignty, but for the way they celebrate life itself. Today we're here to celebrate his life because it was truly a life that included Latinos, African Americans, Europeans, and tribal members like me. Pascua Yaqui and American Legion Post 125 honored Grijalva and his family with a banner for everyone to sign. Pascua Yaqui Councilwoman Herminia Frias cited the old Pascua Community Land Acquisition Act, which Grijalva introduced into Congress in 2021. People kept telling us it's not going to happen, said Frias. But having someone like Raul in D.C. that made it happen for us just speaks to the volume of his work, what he did, and how he got things done. The act solidified an agreement, the 2021 Pascua Yaqui Tribe State of Arizona amended and restated gaming compact that allowed lands to be taken into federal trust on behalf of the Pascua Yaqui Tribe. Grijalva championed a multitude of indigenous issues, introducing the Repealing Existing Substandard Provisions Encouraging Coalition with Tribes Act to require federal consultation with tribal governments on matters impacting their communities. He introduced the Save Oak Flat from Foreign Mining Act as part of his efforts to safeguard lands for future generations by opposing the proposed Resolution Copper Mine at Oak Flat. Turning Oak Flat into a political bargaining chip was an assault against tribal sovereignty that never should have happened, said Grijalva. Doing it on behalf of a foreign-owned mining conglomerate with a documented record of destroying indigenous sacred sites and human rights violations makes it just that much more unconscionable. I urge my colleagues to do right by the San Carlos Apache tribe and all of our tribal communities by moving quickly to pass this bill before it's too late. His work impacted indigenous communities so much, it left Yucupicio wondering who would pick up where he left off. Who's going to fight like he did? Who's going to be there for the people? The people's champ, said Yucupicio. Hopefully, someone will step up and do the same thing that he was doing. In Yaqui, we say, Enchi Mampo Tawak, it's now in your hands. That was Mourners Celebrate Life of the People's Champ, Raul Grijalva. NAU's American Indian Nursing Program expands with direct relief grant to tackle critical shortages in Native communities. By Kaylee Berg, writing for Native News Online, published on March 4, 2025. A Northern Arizona University program aimed at critical nursing shortages in Native American communities is expanding after two decades, thanks to a grant from the humanitarian aid organization Direct Relief. The funds, totaling $150,000, will bolster NAU's American Indian Nursing Program Pathway, or AIP, and a two-and-a-half-year program designed to increase Native American representation in nursing and prepare graduates for careers in Native-serving healthcare institutions and reservation-based facilities. The initiative is part of the broader effort to increase the number of Native nurses who can return to their communities and provide culturally competent care. While the U.S. healthcare system is experiencing a nursing shortage, the National Center for Health Workforce projected that by 2030 there will be a national shortage of almost 64,000 full-time nurses. Reservations are hit particularly hard due to compounding factors. Rural communities bear the bulk of the shortage. Only 0.4% of nurses are Native American or Alaskan Native, and the Indian Health Service has a historic vacancy rate near 30%. NAU's AIP program admits 10 AI/AN students each fall. Before the program kicks off, students attend a seminar to help them prepare for upcoming coursework. The seminar introduces them to test-taking strategies, study habits, and time management skills while also highlighting the importance of balancing school with family and community responsibilities. Once admitted, students receive guidance from faculty mentors who are also Native Americans working in the nursing field. Weekly meetings and monthly cultural events allow students to hear from guest speakers, cultural medicine practitioners, and experienced nurses. The program emphasizes clinical experiences in Native-serving healthcare institutions, such as IHS facilities in the region. For recent graduate Colby McNabb, Dene, the AIP was life-changing. After completing his clinical rotation, he now works as a nurse full-time at the Tuba City Regional Healthcare Center. My AIP experience was an extremely positive and eye-opening experience. Getting the opportunity to treat and help other Native Americans let me know for sure that being a nurse is the right path for me, McNabb told Native News Online. While academic preparation is critical, NAU recognizes that many Native students face additional challenges beyond the classroom. Family responsibilities, financial difficulties, transportation issues, and food insecurity can negatively impact student retention and success. To combat this, the program includes wraparound support services that help students navigate these challenges while staying on track to graduate. Dr. Janina Johnson, Dean of NAU's College of Nursing, told Native News Online, the college aims to expand access to reservation-based training opportunities for students. This did start out as a reservation-based program, but we didn't have enough resources to maintain that, Johnson said. With this direct relief grant, we're strengthening our foundation so we can eventually expand and increase reservation-based access. Johnson pointed to nursing as a means of serving Native communities. Nursing is an amazing profession. It's about more than just patient care. It's about serving communities, populations, and even entire nations. If you want to make a difference in the health of Indigenous people, this is the right path for you, Johnson said. That was Direct Relief Grant Expands NAU's American Indian Nursing Program. Here are a couple of stories from the AZ Mirror, written by Shandine Silversmith. The first, published on March 26, 2025, Tribe to host convocation for Indigenous students from Maricopa Community Colleges. Indigenous students graduating from a Maricopa County Community College will have a special convocation this year, just not one hosted by the district. Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community President Martin Harvier announced Wednesday the Tribal Council will host a Native American convocation for all Indigenous students graduating from a Maricopa County Community College this spring. The tribe is hosting the event in response to how the district canceled all convocations for specific student groups due to President Donald Trump's threat to defund colleges and universities that engage in DEI efforts. Harvier said the district's actions came quickly and without consultation with local tribes or other minority organizations. The cancellation of the convocation concerned the tribe because Scottsdale Community College is located within the boundaries of the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian community, and many tribal members have received their education from SCC. "We knew we had to do something to address this issue," Harvier said. The tribe met with the MCCCD governing board, Harvier said, and the tribal council agreed to host the convocation for all 2025 Native American MCCCD graduates in the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian community. "Why? Because honoring all Native American students for their accomplishments is the right thing to do," Harvier said. The Tribal Council will cover all costs for the event that is being planned for early May. Details on the exact date and how students can participate were not shared. Mona Scott Figueroa, a faculty member at Mesa Community College, said she is elated that the Native American convocation will continue this year, even without it being hosted by the district. "I love that Salt River made this generous offer," Figueroa said. "They're coming through for all 10 colleges." When Figueroa heard of the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian community stepping up to host the convocation, she said it's a move that is consistent with who we are as Indigenous people. "We do what's right for the community," she added. "What matters is the students and our community members." Figueroa said she was the name reader during the Native American convocations held at Mesa Community College, and she knows how beautiful the event is for the students and their families. "For many, this is their first official graduation," Figueroa said, adding that it's an authentic experience for the students and their families, because it's full of Indigenous representation. "I'm glad that it's going to happen," she added. "It's a beautiful event that I knew was going to happen in some form or fashion." With the convocation being hosted within the Salt River community, Figueroa said she hopes that Scottsdale Community College will take it as a sign to invest and support Indigenous students. "It does send a message," she said, and she hopes it will strengthen connections between tribes and MCCCD. That was Tribe to Host Convocation for Indigenous Students from Maricopa Community Colleges. You're listening to Native Sun on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds of Arizona has been providing the disabled with audio access to print information for over 45 years. Learn how you can support us at our website, sunsounds.org, where you can also listen to our live streams or find individual episodes on demand. The second of two articles by Shondine Silversmith, Hobbs displays tribal flags in executive tower after removal from VA hospital, published on the 25th of March, 2025. Following the abrupt removal of the flags representing Arizona's 22 tribal nations from the Carl T. Hayden VA Medical Center in Central Phoenix, Governor Katie Hobbs is displaying the flags in the executive tower at the state capitol. "Arizona is proud of the tribal veterans who sacrificed for their country," Hobbs said in a press release. "We should be recognizing their service, not disrespecting their heritage." The flags were entrusted to Hobbs by the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian community after they were removed on March 18th and dropped off with the tribe by staff from the Phoenix VA hospital. It's my honor to display these flags at the Executive Tower, and I'm grateful to all the tribal leaders who have entrusted me with this responsibility, Hobbs added in her written statement. I will always support our veterans and vow to keep these flags safe until they can be returned to their rightful place at the VA hospital. Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community President Martin Harvier said the tribe is grateful they had the opportunity to receive the tribal flags and have them for a short time. We're thankful Governor Hobbs has agreed to take the flags to display them at the Arizona Capitol, a more prominent and appropriate place for them to be located, he said. Several Arizona tribal nations and state officials called the removal disrespectful for all indigenous people who served in the U.S. military and all the veterans who seek help from the Phoenix VA. Sherry Cordova, chairwoman of the Cocopah tribe, said the Veterans Administration's removal of the tribal flags was both insulting and disrespectful to all members of Arizona's 22 tribal nations. Cordova said, even though the Cocopah tribe is small, they have a large number of people who serve in the military, but they're being disrespected by the very country they defended. Our contribution to this country is slash were great. Now it seems we're being erased, she said in a statement. We are citizens of this nation, and we should be recognized for the service of our proud men and women. Indigenous people across the United States serve in the armed forces at five times the national average, according to the National Indian Council on Aging, and have served with distinction in every major conflict for over 200 years. Arizona has one of the largest Native American populations in the country, including a high number living on tribal lands, according to the U.S. Census. Indigenous people make up 6% of Arizona's overall population. The removal of the flags was the result of a new flag policy implemented by the Department of Veterans Affairs that limits the display of flags at VA facilities. The policy is intended to establish consistency across the department and aligns with long-standing Department of Defense guidelines, the VA stated in a news release. The policy applies to all VA facilities, including offices, government vehicles, medical centers, common areas, and parking lots. The only flags allowed to be displayed include the U.S. flag, flags of U.S. states and territories, military service flags, VA flags, and official flags of U.S. agencies, and flags representing prisoners of war or missing in action, senior executive services, military command units, and burial flags for honoring veterans and reservists are permitted. That was Hobbs displays tribal flags in Executive Tower after removal from VA Hospital. Two Native professors discuss traditional knowledge grant. This is by Neely Bardwell of Native News Online, published March 6, 2025. A $350,000 grant from the James Irvine Foundation was recently awarded to the co-directors of the Rue Dahlager Food Sovereignty Lab and Traditional Ecological Knowledge Institute, California's first dedicated space for cultivating indigenous knowledges in a university setting, for their pioneering work at the Native American Studies Department at Cal Poly Humboldt. Dr. Kucha Risling-Baldy, Hoopa Valley, Yurok and Karuk, and Dr. Caitlin Reed, Yurok, both work to advance indigenous science, food sovereignty, and land justice by mentoring students, fostering collaborations, and integrating indigenous knowledge into academia and community life. Both are associate professors of Native American Studies at Cal Poly Humboldt. This interview has been edited for brevity and length. For brevity and length, that's what it says. Native News Online asks, what is the Rue Dahlager Food Sovereignty Lab? Risling-Baldy answers, the lab has been envisioned as a space where we can connect indigenous scientists, leaders, and knowledge holders with students, community, faculty, staff, and people that are just really interested in what the resurgence of indigenous science and place-based learning could and should be, especially within a higher education institution. I think the goal has always been that we could envision projects and research that really foregrounds Indigenous peoples' voices as the primary sources and knowledge holders, and really connect people in a way that they can envision new things, new futures, new ideas that maybe they wouldn't have thought of otherwise because they're not limited to a Western education approach to things. Native News asks, how has the community responded to your work? Rizling Baldy says, I've only seen really positive and amazing things happen. We just did a partnership with the Black Student Excellence Center on campus, and they brought in some of their cultural and Indigenous practitioners of food. It was a day where they all talked and worked together with the lab space, and we were able to connect and tell them about Indigenous peoples in this region. Afterwards, some of the staff told me that the students and people who came in said this feels like a very safe space to learn, and I thought that was really powerful. To be like, it was a space where they felt really safe to ask questions and build new ideas, and they felt invited to do that. In this time where we're all wondering where does hope come from, I think the hope comes from Indigenous peoples in the ways that we've always done things. Even when the world feels out of balance, we can do things to put the world back into balance. Reed says, part of the story of the lab is that our university didn't fund us. But when you look to donations, we do have some large donors that we're incredibly grateful for. But a lot of them are small, less than $5 donations, because people want to be involved and demonstrate support of the community. So I think it's really telling that we have hundreds and hundreds of really tiny donations, which I think demonstrates the support of our community, both on campus and within our broader community. Native News Online asks, how did the lab start? Rizling Baldy says, the lab itself got started as a student project in one of my classes. They did a project where they interviewed Native faculty, staff, and students, and held public stakeholders meetings and focus groups to ask, what should Cal Poly Humboldt do to indigenize the campus? What loaded to the top was a food sovereignty lab, so we had to figure out exactly what that is. They then held more stakeholder meetings and invited people to come and just envision what would that be. What do you want to see in that space? And everything that they envisioned, we now have. They wanted a space for cooking and demonstrations. They wanted a space where they could do workshops. They wanted a space where people could study and build connections across multiple disciplines and knowledges. They wanted a salmon cooking area and acorn processing. All those things we now have or are building. We're not the only Native-focused research program on campus, but we are the first food sovereignty lab in the California State University system. We're the first traditional ecological knowledge institute that's really thinking about Indigenous science. Native News Online asks, what is your experience bringing Indigenous knowledge systems to academia? Reed says, I'll say that there's a lot of excitement in people who are genuinely very eager to learn from Native American Studies faculty. But what I've noticed is it's often the same exact people who take you up on those types of opportunities, and the people who are the ones actively perpetuating harmful stereotypes and discourse around Native peoples and Indigenous knowledges are not the people lining up to learn how to ethically integrate TEK, traditional ecological knowledge, into their curriculum. Part of your job as a Native American Studies professor is to let students come into your office and vent about how colonial all of these Western disciplines that they have to take for their general education requirements are, and the ways that actively does harm. So, how do we actually change the professors that are doing harm to students? Rizling Baldy says, there's a lot of people who think they have a lot of interest in TEK or Indigenous science. They ask, what about what I could do with that, or how is that going to help my work? Then when you start talking to them and say, we can help and demonstrate for you how that's going to elevate the work you're doing, but that also means you're dedicated to the political struggle and the social issues that are happening to Native people, that's when they get very turned off from it. They don't want to also have to dedicate themselves to the political struggles and social issues of Native people, and just want the knowledge. This is part of an ongoing process of colonialism, where suddenly we're still being extracted from. The extractiveness that happens in higher education needs to stop. Native News Online asks, would you say there's a connection between food sovereignty and health? Says Reed, yes. One of the things I think about in my work a lot is the relationship between the health of the people and the health of the land. Those are often reflections of one another. Our elders will say, as long as the river is sick, the people will never be healthy. When we return to traditional foods, we can see the physical manifestations of that through health. In a lot of the work that Dr. Risling Baldy is doing with youth, we can also see the way that impacts things like mental health and emotional health. There's graphs I love to show people, where it shows the rates of salmon populations, and as that graph goes down, the rates of diabetes in our region of northwestern California go up. It's an inverse of each other. When you take all the salmon out of the river because they don't have water or clean water, we're actually seeing that manifest itself in the bodies of indigenous peoples. Risling Baldy says, colonialism exists all around us to make us feel uncomfortable in our own spaces, to make us feel crazy and unhealthy. When you start to realize everybody's made to feel very unhealthy in this space, because if they keep us unhealthy, then maybe we're not all going to organize together and start exercising our sovereignty. So when you start also saying to yourself, I need to be healthy, and when I'm healthy, I can then help to make the land healthier, I can help my more than human relatives to be healthy, and when they're healthy, then the water will be healthy. When the water is healthy, then everything else will come together. We know things are interconnected. Native people understand that food is not just the food that you eat that goes into your body. It's the entire system that it took to bring that food to you. And part of that is the relationships we have within that system to bring that food to you. And part of that is the relationships with people that you have so they could teach you about that. It's all interconnected. We can't disconnect the land health from the health of each other. That was Two Native Professors Discuss Traditional Knowledge Grant. You've been listening to Native Sun, bringing you news of Indian Country on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Your reader is Bethany Williams. Music is Land Back by Hallucination Nation.